Good evening, everybody. It's been a beautiful day. It's been a beautiful week this week, and we thank the Lord for all of his blessings. How many of you here tonight have experienced the goodness of God in your life this week? Say amen. We're so grateful for that, and we're back into the Word of God this evening after a false alarm last Wednesday night. Last Wednesday night, multiple people began to communicate with me, including one of our deacons right there, Trent Porter. Have you seen the storm warnings? But it wasn't just Trent. Multiple people were texting me, what are we going to do about church? The storm warnings. And the warnings were severe, weren't they? They were severe. And so we canceled church last Wednesday night, and we did not get one drop of rain, not one blow of wind. Not one peal of thunder, nothing. You know what we got last Wednesday night?
No church.
Nothing. So I hope, did you drive here? You need to, Nancy, please get Diane Moon hooked up to the notification system because she came last Wednesday night. All right. You came too last Wednesday. Please get Heather and Jimmy hooked up to the text system so that they know when something happens. We have a text notification system that you can get signed up for. We don't overuse that, but when we have something to communicate, we send out a message so that everybody knows. If church is canceled or something like that, then we will send out a message, and you can sign that up. Wave at us back there, Nancy. Yonke, wave at us back there. Nancy can get you signed up for that. And Nancy will be leading our 50-plus dinner tomorrow night as well with a good gospel hymn sing. David, I think, is leading our hymns tomorrow night. If you have not signed up for 50-plus tomorrow night, you're welcome to come and join us for that. But let Nancy know so she'll can add you to the count. And tonight, though, we're back into our series through the Gospel of John as we've been examining seven statements from Jesus in the Gospel of John about his identity, who Jesus is. You know, that makes all the difference. Who Jesus is makes all the difference, doesn't it? And Jesus made powerful declarations about himself in the Gospel of John, seven statements that reveal to us who he is and who he is to us, what he becomes to us. And we began on the first Wednesday night of this series by examining the declaration of Jesus, I am the bread of life. Pastor Peter even mentioned the expression in his praying tonight, we're hungry for you, Lord. That spiritual hunger can only be satisfied by Jesus. He is the bread of life. We looked in our second lesson at this declaration, I am the light of the world. That inspired me to ask Marty to sing the song we close with tonight. Shine, Jesus, shine. Jesus is the light of the world. And everything else and everybody else is darkness, but Jesus brings light. Aren't you glad? Say amen. Tonight we're going to do double duty, not because we missed last Wednesday night, but because these two declarations are contained in the same teaching in John chapter 10 as we consider Jesus declaring, I am the gate for the sheep and I am the good shepherd. I'll remind you briefly that Jesus said in John chapter 8, before Abraham was, I am. And Jesus identified himself with his Father, the Almighty God, who appeared to Moses in a burning bush and said, I am who I am, that is my name. Jesus came along and captured that name for himself and said, I am God, the Father and the Son and the Spirit, three in one. There is Jesus declaring to the religious leaders in John chapter 8 that he identifies himself with the God of heaven who appeared in the burning bush. I am who I am. Tonight Jesus says, I am the gate and I am the good shepherd. We'll read tonight from Psalm 23 as we begin and remember a beautiful, perhaps the most familiar passage in all of the Bible is Psalm 23 and a Psalm of David. And here it goes. The Lord is my shepherd. Why don't we just read it out loud together? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The theme of God as the shepherd of his people runs throughout the scriptures, beginning all the way back in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 48, when Jacob, the grandson of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when Jacob, the patriarch, made this statement, "The God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day is the God who brings blessings to us." Jacob declared that God had been his shepherd for his entire life. Now, Jacob was himself a shepherd. The patriarchs were shepherds. They raised sheep and other livestock. Jacob knew what the role of a shepherd looked like, and Jacob, long before David declared it in the 23rd Psalm, Jacob identified the Lord as our shepherd. But then we move through the pages of Scripture, and we find that theme runs again and again through the Scriptures. We find that the Psalms and the prophets are filled with references to the Lord as our shepherd. And here in the New Testament, we find that the Lord Jesus becomes the shepherd to his people. Here in John chapter 10, we're going to read that Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. In Hebrews 13:20, we find that Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep who equips us for doing his will. In 1 Peter 2:25, we hear that Jesus is the shepherd and overseer of our souls, who draws us back to himself when we stray. In 1 Peter 5:4, we hear that Jesus is the chief shepherd who is coming again one day to receive us to himself. And finally, in the New Testament, in Revelation chapter 7, verse 17, we find the promise that the Lamb of God, Jesus, at the center of the throne, will be our shepherd forever and forever, and he will lead us to springs of living water. The good news, friend, is this. When we put our trust in Jesus, Jesus will shepherd us from this day forward and forever. Aren't you glad? He is the faithful shepherd. And so tonight we read in the Gospel of John chapter 10, verses 1 through 29, the declarations of Jesus about being the gate for the sheep and the good shepherd. Now, I have to tell you tonight as we start into these scriptures that there's a lot of mixing of metaphors in this passage. The metaphors are all mixed together, but they are metaphors about the relationship between a shepherd and the sheep and the activity, the lives of the sheep. Lots of mixed metaphors. But listen, friends, how many of you understand with me that it is the Lord Jesus' prerogative who created language to mix his metaphors? And the point that Jesus is going to be making in these teachings tonight is that he is the one who takes care of every need the sheep could ever experience. He is a faithful shepherd. He is a sacrificial shepherd who will lay down his life. He is the only way that the sheep can experience security, and he is with us wherever we go. So we're going to look first at his declaration, "I am the gate for the sheep," and then, "I am the good shepherd." Let's read at John chapter 10, verse 1. How many will listen fast if I preach fast? Say amen. Amen. Jesus said in John 10, verse 1, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Now, pause and recognize how many different characters there are in this story, in this teaching from Jesus. There are strangers, there are thieves and robbers who try to get into the sheep pen. There are hired hands, there is the shepherd, there are the sheep. We've got a lot of these characters moving about in this illustration. Verse 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too, everybody look at me tonight. I'm looking across the building, and I think as I look across the building, every one of us here tonight falls into that other sheep category. As we're going to see in just a few moments, Jesus is referring to the bringing in of the Gentiles. They're not a part of the original sheep pen. Israel was the original flock, but how many of you are glad that Jesus has brought us into the flock as well? Say amen. Into the flock of salvation. So Jesus says, they too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Now the Jewish leaders are going to argue with him a little bit here, and then Jesus will continue in verse 27 with the teaching. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Amen. What a good word we received through the gifts of the Holy Spirit a moment ago. Amen. That though the devil is raging, he cannot defeat us when we trust in the Lord our God. And Jesus echoes that sentiment at the conclusion of this teaching when he says, no one is able to snatch you out of my Father's hand. When we hang on to Jesus, he hangs on to us. Would you say amen? So let's examine these two metaphors tonight, these two declarations, as we hear, first of all, Jesus say, I am the gate for the sheep. So Jesus is going to be talking about a sheep pen. You know, there are a variety of illustrations in the Gospels regarding the shepherd and the sheep. There's the familiar story about the shepherd leaving the 99 out on the open hillside to go search for the one sheep that was lost and bringing back the one sheep that was lost. And we think about that, and we think about, why are the 99 out on the hillside left by themselves? And we have to focus in on the message that Jesus is bringing us. One of the rules of understanding the parables of Jesus is that we can't press an illustration too far, okay? We cannot take a metaphor or an illustration or a parable and press it so far that it begins to miss the point of the teaching in the first place. You know what I'm talking about, okay? A clear illustration of that is from John chapter 6 that we started this series with when Jesus began to teach about being the bread of life, and he speaks about eating my flesh and drinking my blood. If we press the illustration too far, then Jesus wouldn't have survived that experience there in that teaching. Everybody would have come over and begun to eat him up right there. His life would have ended because he has just told them, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. If they had come over there right now and said, okay, all right, Jesus. Well, that would be pressing the metaphor, the illustration too far. Do you understand? So we have to understand the teaching for its meaning in the context of Scripture. And Jesus is going to be dealing with the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. And the security in this first portion, the security that the shepherd provides for his sheep, for us, his followers. And the first thing we note is that Jesus is the gate to the pen, okay? A pen. Let's consider here the idea that this sanctuary, and this is just an illustration, we're not saying that this church is the only church or anything like that. But let's just say that this building is a place of safety, let's say from the storm, okay? And it's storming outside, and so everybody runs in here into the building, and we find safety and warmth in the time of the storm. The pen for the sheep in this illustration is a place of safety and security provided by the shepherd. The pen is a place of safety. The pen brings protection from sheep stealers. We see it in verse 1. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. The pen provides safety from the sheep stealers. And anybody who tries to get into the pen without going through the gate obviously has nefarious intentions. All right? Think about it this way. Let's say that one evening I decided I need to come here to the church to get something. I left my notebook or whatever in my office. And let's say I decide, rather than coming through the door with my key, I decided to break in through the window in my office. How many of you think that would be extremely strange? Okay? Let's paint the illustration like this. Let's say the police were coming by and driving through the parking lot, which they often do. We appreciate our police department here in Jefferson City. They often drive through our lot, and sometimes they camp out in our lot and have lunch in our lot even. We welcome the police. We're glad that they are close to us. And there have been times through the years when late at night, when I would be coming into the office for some reason and coming through my door, a police officer would be out there. But when that police officer notices that I have a key and that I have an alarm code and that I make my way into the building like that and I'm not acting like I'm trying to hide from anybody, that police officer recognizes that I have a right to be in this building. Isn't that right? However, if for some strange reason I were out there at midnight breaking through the window to try to get into the church and a police officer saw, what would that police officer assume? That police officer would assume that guy is breaking into the church and he has no right to be in that church. So Jesus says there are some who try to break into the sheep pen by going in by a different route. They don't enter through the gate. They don't go in through the door. In the King James Version, Jesus is saying, I am the door. I am the door. I am the gate. And so Jesus says somebody who's trying to get into the pen a different way is a thief and a robber. It's easy to identify someone who's trying to steal the sheep from the body, the flock of God, the body of Christ. They're not going through Jesus. If we're going to just break it down to what Jesus is saying, they're not going through Jesus to get in to the sheep. They're going through some other route. There's a lot of teaching in the New Testament about false teachers. Their motivation is not serving Christ. It's not glorifying Christ. It's not building up the body of believers. The motivation of false teachers is victimizing the flock for their own ill purposes. And because of that, they maneuver in not through the doorway of Jesus or the avenue of Jesus. They maneuver into the body through other avenues, with other plans, with other intentions, through other means. They gather the attention of people through means other than Jesus, other than true spirituality. And Jesus says anybody who comes in like that is a thief and a robber, working to steal people away from Jesus. So there's protection in the pen from sheep stealers, and there's protection from shady strangers. Verse 5, Jesus says they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Now, as we think about the safety of being in the sheep pen, we recognize Jesus here is referring in great measure, and we'll see it throughout this teaching, to his voice, his teaching, his truth. If you listen to me, says Jesus, you're going to be safe. If you listen to others who disagree with me, you're going to be in trouble. So Jesus is teaching that the pen is a place of safety from that deception, from those ill intentions. And the pen, secondly, is a place of salvation. As we come into the sheep pen of Jesus, following him as our shepherd, while we're in that pen, we're listening to him, we're building relationship with him, we're growing in him, we're trusting him, we're honoring him as his sheep. As we come into that place, we experience the salvation that only the true shepherd can bring. In fact, Jesus teaches here that he is the only gate into the true sheep pen. I told you at the beginning that this teaching is filled with mixed metaphors. We have to sort our way through it tonight. So excuse me if I feel a little clunky tonight. But we have to maneuver through this teaching to get the points that Jesus is making. But Jesus is declaring here, I am the only gate. Now Jesus will make that declaration in other ways as we continue through the Gospel of John. Jesus will say, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Remember that? Jesus will say again in John 15, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. In other words, if you're going to dwell in anybody, Jesus says, I'm the only one that can give life. So Jesus is the only gate. Verse 6, Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me, everybody say before me. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Now, who are these who came before Jesus? Well, these are false teachers, false religions, false prophets. These are not the prophets of God who taught the true word of God. These were those who would be in conflict with Jesus. Those who came before and tried to gather the allegiance of people through other methods, they are thieves and robbers, says Jesus. So Jesus is the only gate, and Jesus is the open gate. Verse 9, Jesus says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be what? Saved. Will be saved. So the good news in this story from Jesus, this parable, this illustration, is that the gate is open to all who will come in and listen to Jesus and follow him and be a part of his sheep pen. How many of you have already come in to the salvation of Jesus? Say a good amen. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you are safe in the sheep pen, and Jesus has declared you receive salvation by coming into relationship with him and faith in him. So Jesus is the gate to the pen. Now, this next part of the teaching is sort of the opposite side of this. Jesus is the gate to the pen, and Jesus is the gate to the pasture. If anything were ever obvious, that is. Okay? Think about this with me. We got a front door out there. Okay? That door will lead you into this building, and it will also lead you out of this building. Won't it? Okay? The pen is the place of safety, but the pasture then, it's as if Jesus shifts gears to provide us an illustration that wherever we are, if we're his sheep, we're going to be safe. In the pen, we're safe and secure in him, and he is the gate that leads us out to the pasture where we can find supply and nourishment and where we can enjoy ourselves there in the pasture. So Jesus is the gate to the pasture. He's the pasture of spiritual food. You know, in the Old Testament, occasionally the enemy armies would blockade a walled city. They would secure that city to try to capture that city. And the military people inside of that city would try to keep them from entering the city because the city was walled. But the way they often defeated those cities was to surround them with an iron grip, not let anybody in and out. And the inhabitants of that city, because that city was surrounded by a foreign army, the inhabitants of the city would literally starve to death because they could not get out and about to find supply and to find food. And the enemy army would choke them out and they would die because they could not get out to the pasture. So Jesus declares here, I'm the gate to the pen and I'm the gate to the pasture. The pasture is where we find spiritual food. Here it is. There's safety in the pen, Jesus says in verse 9, I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. There's safety in the pen and there's supply in the pasture. Verse 9, he will come in and go out and find pasture. Pasture. So Jesus is the shepherd, whether we're in the pen or out in the pasture. The key to being safe and secure is sticking close to the shepherd, right? Not only sticking close to the shepherd, but listening to the shepherd's voice and following his lead. So the pasture is a place of spiritual food, and the pasture is a place of spiritual fullness. Note the motivation of the sheep stealer. Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, many, many people have quoted that verse of Scripture without recognizing its context here as Jesus is teaching about the sheep. But the illustration here is good anyway. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We have used that verse to refer to the devil, and the devil fits all those qualifications, doesn't he? But the devil is not the only one who is a thief in this particular teaching. The thief is anybody, of course he'd be inspired by the devil, anybody who would lead us away from Jesus is the thief. And the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But note the motivation of the shepherd. Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. How many of you this evening want for yourself everything Jesus has for you? Amen. Is that you? Yes. You want everything Jesus has for you. Well, every good thing, every good and perfect gift comes from our Heavenly Father. Every bit of real spiritual life, I mean every inch, every ounce, every iota of real spiritual life comes from a relationship with Jesus. It all flows from that. Even healthy relationships in the human realm, the spiritual life in that comes from Jesus, who infuses all of that. So as believers, Jesus says, I have come that they may experience the fullness of life. The more we depend on our shepherd, the closer we cling to him, the more we listen to his voice, the more we build relationship with him, the more we follow him unquestioningly, amen? The closer we cling to Jesus, the more My science teacher used to teach us, the more we receive from Jesus by osmosis, it just flows from him to us. And so the motivation of the shepherd is always good. That's an important point as we live in a troubled world. Because sometimes people want to blame God for the tragedies that happen in life. They want to be angry at God over this, that, and the other. But the reality is, in the midst of a troubled world, God, our Father, and Jesus, our Savior and Lord, wants the very best for us. We don't always understand how some of those things work together, but we're reminded of Romans 8:28. In all things, God is working together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Sometimes we just have our eyes on the wrong things and our motivations are wrong. We ask God, but we ask with wrong motives and things like that. But the truth is, the Lord wants us to be the healthiest, strongest, liveliest, most blessed people that we could possibly be. And that spiritual life that comes from Jesus is irreplaceable. He wants the best for us. So Jesus declares, I am the gate for the sheep. He's the gate to the pen. He's the gate out to the pasture. But wherever he is where we want to be. Would you say amen? If he's in the pen, we want to be in there. Yes? If he's out in the pasture, we want to be out there. Yes? We want to be with Jesus where he is. The second word from Jesus in this teaching is, I am the good shepherd. So, you know, in the first portion, we see Jesus going through the gate, okay? So Jesus is going through himself, it looks like. Again, these are mixed metaphors. We have to grasp the purpose of the teaching. So he is both the gate for the sheep, and now he is also the shepherd of the sheep. And as the good shepherd, we note three things about Jesus. Is everybody still with me? Say amen. It's 1 minute till eight. First, we note that Jesus prioritizes the sheep. I love this because Jesus is the Son of God. Long before any human being ever existed, Jesus lived and reigned in glory with the Heavenly Father in eternity's past. In the scope of things, we might would think we're nothing to him. We are this little creation here on earth, like a hobby project, we might would think. But that's not what he thinks. When God created the human race, he created the human race for fellowship and for to have a people who would belong to him and love him and glorify him. Remember that the greatest command in the Old Testament, says Jesus, is that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. What God wants more than anything else from his people is that we develop a relationship of loving him with our entire being. And no wonder he wants that, because he has loved us with his entire being. So Jesus, in his relationship as shepherd with sheep, he prioritizes the sheep. The shepherd is faithful to the flock. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, when Jesus taught his disciples this teaching in John chapter 10, and there it wasn't just his disciples, there were religious leaders there who were adversarial toward him during this teaching. When Jesus is teaching this, probably no one in the audience could have understood the significance of the prophecy that Jesus makes here. When Jesus says, the good shepherd, I am the good shepherd does what? He lays down his life for the sheep. Now, the average hearer of that teaching would say, well, that's true. A shepherd often serves sacrificially. He stands between the sheep and the lion. Remember David, when he was a young shepherd boy, he said, I have killed the lion and the bear in protecting my sheep. And so they would have understood this as the shepherd being fiercely protective of his sheep. They could certainly not have understood the significance of the prophecy Jesus was making, but we'll look at that a little further in a moment. But the shepherd is faithful to the flock because he prioritizes the safety and the security of the flock. And the shyster is fearful and forsakes the flock. Verse 12 says, the hired hand is not the shepherd. Now this is, the hired hand is not the thief. This is a different figure here. The hired hand is neither the thief in the first illustration, nor is he the stranger in the first illustration. This is a different illustration. Everybody with me? So we got a hired hand. We got now the contrast between the true shepherd and a hired hand, someone who is hired to do a job. Have you ever known somebody who did the job, but they were only there for the paycheck? Ever known somebody like that? They didn't really put their heart into it, but they needed a paycheck, so they clocked in and clocked out and did what they had to do to satisfy the boss. That is the hired hand Jesus is talking about here. That hired hand does not really care very much about the whole purpose of it all. He just cares about getting his paycheck, okay? So he's the shyster here, because he's not really caring. And verse 12 says, the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Now let's break down the simple meaning of that for a minute and understand that Jesus is teaching us here that he, when the enemy comes to attack us, when the enemy wants to destroy us, when the enemy wants to deceive us, there is no way on planet Earth that Jesus is going to run away and leave us unprotected. Jesus is declaring, I'm going to be there. When the enemy comes in, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, says Jesus. Look up at me, everybody. A follower of Jesus who is in love with Jesus and walking with Jesus, a follower of Jesus has nothing to fear from the devil. Could I have a better amen? We have no, when we are true followers of Jesus, we are safe in his care. He will never run away from the end. He will never run away from the devil. I remember we used to do a play here at First Assembly many, many years ago, Darla. Remember when we did Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames? And it was a big drama about hell that sort of scared everybody into wanting to get saved. And I remember the scene of Jesus when he died on the cross and he supposedly went into hell to get the keys of hell and death. Remember that illustration? So we had this, this building was a little different then, but we had a big black draped thing up here with orange lights, shining out. It was supposed to be hell. And the illustration in that play had Jesus, going in there, and then you heard all this rustling noise, like there was a big wrestling match. And then out comes Jesus with the keys. And everybody cheers. Well, they may have cheered, but friends, that's not how it happened. That's not how it happened. I want you to know Jesus never had to wrestle with the devil for the key. Jesus is the Son of the living God. When Jesus died on the cross, he died as the Son of God. And by the way, and we'll teach on it sometime again, it's been several years, Jesus didn't go into the fires of hell. Jesus went to paradise during those 3 days and three nights. Jesus didn't burn in hell for anything. He claimed those keys rightfully as the Son of the living God. He rose again from the dead to listen to me. Jesus rose again from the dead to demonstrate the authority he already had. Are you here? He already had. Remember, Jesus says in this very passage, I have authority to lay my life down, and I have authority to take it up again. But before Jesus ever died, he owned the authority to rise from the dead. Are you here? So where are we? So the hired hand, he's not prioritizing the sheep, so he forsakes the flock. Jesus, though, prioritizes the sheep. He'll always be there for it. Everybody, reach up your hand as if you're taking hold of the hand of Jesus. Just kind of grab hold of the hand of Jesus, just as an illustration. When you grab hold of the hand of Jesus in faith, thank God he never lets you go. Hallelujah. So don't you ever let go either. It would be a disaster to let go of somebody who would never let go of you. So we hang on to Jesus. He hangs on to us. And he has our, listen, you've heard the expression, he has our back. But not only does he have our back, he has our front, and he has our head, and he has our feet, and he has every part of us. The shepherd is faithful in protecting his sheep because he prioritizes them. He loves us. Hallelujah. Jesus prioritizes the sheep, and Jesus pursues the sheep. Notice this is a personal relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. There it is again. Jesus says there's a relationship between the shepherd and the sheep here. Jesus knows us, and we know Jesus. That's a spiritual knowing. We had a conversation in a staff meeting recently about baptismal formulas and those kinds of things. And we talked about whether, you know, asking a brand new believer the question, you know, if you've just given your heart to Jesus last Sunday, to ask that believer, do you love the Lord? Is not really a very practical question because that person has no idea really what it means to love the Lord or really to know the Lord because you just met the Lord. Pamela, I remember the evening that I first met you. It was in a newcomers class. Do you remember that? And over this last year, we've come to know you and Brenda and I and you. We've come to know each other as friends. I know what kind of cookies you make and I know when the last time you made them for me was. I know that. I know your heart for the Lord. I know how you think about spiritual things. I know your desire to grow in faith. I know your passion for the gifts of healing and miracles and those kinds of things that you study on a regular basis. I know a lot about you by becoming acquainted with you over the last year as pastor and as friends. We come to know each other through relationship building. Isn't that right? I know what foods. Brother Al is best at making. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I learn those kinds of things because, well, I love food for one thing. But as we begin to know each other, I know the best chocolate pie. Brenda doesn't mind my saying this because we've talked about Brenda is an awesome cook and baker, but she knows that I brag that the best chocolate pie on planet Earth is baked by Carol Holum back there. I know that. Carol and I not only worked together for 30 years here at the church, but we still consider her a pastor emeritus here, and she's involved in discipling and blessing and praying, but I know things like she makes a phenomenal chocolate pie. We learn to know people and appreciate people over time and through relationship building. So Jesus says here, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Now, Jesus knows us from the very start, from the get-go. That's because he's God. But we grow in our knowledge and our relationship of the Lord. And I just have to say to you, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Isn't that right? And so the more you know him, the more you appreciate him. And the more you realize what a wonderful Lord we serve. It's our privilege here at the church to have a lot of people who've served the Lord for many, many decades. They've walked with him. They have talked with him. They have trusted him. They have worshiped him. And to hear them, to hear people in the final stages of their lives express their great love and devotion to the Lord whom they have known and loved for 50, 60, 70 years. What a great testimony that is to hear them after all of those decades of knowing the Lord praise him. They don't say, well, over these years, I found some good things about him and some bad. No, I've never heard anybody say that. The more they know the Lord, the more they love him. So this is a personal relationship between shepherd and sheep. My time is gone. And as Jesus pursues the sheep for a personal relationship, he provides in this teaching a prophetic revelation. And the revelation is twofold. Jesus makes a prophecy. In this teaching, two prophecies. One, the shepherd will merge a great flock, two flocks into one. He says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. David, I'm asking a whole lot of you here, but do you have access to the map that we use Sunday morning? Do you have access to that map that we use Sunday morning? David is my miracle worker up there on those screens. I want to take a moment to think about this map that we showed Sunday morning. We'll show a similar map this Sunday morning as we conclude our study through the book of Acts on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and we go to Ephesus. David, if you can't find it, just holler at me, but I'd like to look at that map for one. Jesus says, I have other sheep. There it is. We showed this Sunday morning. Jesus, when he's teaching here, is teaching right down here. This corner, this is the nation of Israel. We see the Sea of Galilee up north, the Dead Sea down south, Samaria in the middle. This is the nation of Israel. Jesus is teaching his sheep, his disciples, and the religious leaders here in the Gospel of John, and he's speaking to Jewish people there. And he says to them, I have other sheep who are not of this fold, not of this flock, okay? So this flock for Jesus there were these Jewish believers whom he came for and ministered to first in his life. But Jesus said, I have other sheep. I have other sheep who are not of this fold that I'm talking to right now. I must bring them also. Thank you, David. Back to the scripture there. I have other sheep who are not of this fold. I must bring them also. Can we get back to the scripture? Go back one. Go back a screen. Nope. Go forward. There. I have other sheep. Everybody say other sheep. Everybody say that's me. That are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. There are several mysteries that are part of the gospel in the New Testament as described by the Apostle Paul. One of those mysteries is the mystery of inclusion. Everybody say inclusion. That mystery of inclusion was the mystery that the Gentiles would be included in the plan of God's salvation. They were on the outside looking in, but thank God, Jesus is the gate. And he's invited us to come in. And so we have joined, and now every believer in Jesus is part of one big flock. Would you say amen? The shepherd will merge a great flock, and the shepherd will make a great forfeiture for the flock. He says in verse 17, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay my life down only to take it up again. There's the prophecy. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Right here in John chapter 10, Jesus says, I'm going to lay my life down to save my sheep, but I'm going to take it up again. I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again, Jesus said. And thank God, here we are 2,000 years removed. Aren't you glad Jesus died on the cross for you? Say amen. Aren't you glad he rose again from the dead? And aren't you glad that he's our living Lord? Say a good amen. So Jesus prioritizes the sheep. He pursues the sheep. And lastly, Jesus protects the sheep. He protects the sheep from deception. Verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. All I have to say about that is this. Keep your eyes on Jesus and keep your nose in the Bible. Amen. Are you here? Don't be drawn away by other things. Keep your mind on the Lord. Second, he protects the sheep from death. He says in verse 28, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. And ultimately, Jesus the shepherd protects the sheep from danger. He says, no one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Now, listen to me. Just because somebody somewhere may have misused a scripture verse doesn't mean that that scripture verse is not for us in its truth. And this declaration from Jesus, no one is able to snatch you out of my Father's hand, tells us that as long as we remain in Jesus, we are safe and secure from this day forward and forever. How many of you are going to follow Jesus as your shepherd for the rest of your life and eternity? Would you say amen?